This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and as you know, I'm a small animal veterinarian and crazy cat lover. So I have with me today Dr. Lisa Radasta. Dr. Radasta has been a guest on the show many times, and we love learning and picking her brain because she is a veterinary behaviorist. And it's that time of year to think about vacationing with our family. And if you have a cat, then you have a special consideration about vacation and some choices to make. So we're going to talk with Dr. Radasta today about her suggestions to make vacations, whatever you choose, fun and stress-free for you and your cat. So we'll be right back. Hey there, cat lovers. It's Dr. Cat from Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter, and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. We have Dr. Lisa Radasta, the veterinary behaviorist, with us today. Hi, Dr. Radasta.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to talk about behavior. Course.
I'd love to talk about cats. So it's perfect. So my content kind of comes from my own exam rooms and my own clients asking me things. And then I think, wow, you know what? There are probably other cat lovers out there that have the same questions. So I have had this concern kind of brought up with me in my exam room of it's vacation time and I'm going to go on vacation, but I have a cat or two or more. And what should I do? So I thought maybe we would just talk with you a little bit about vacation and cats. So can we just dive right in?
Absolutely. So I think one important thing that I want to bring up is just like you said, you know, if one person asks the question, probably a bunch of other people had the same question. So I want to encourage people to reach out to their vet and ask questions. Sometimes we feel, and I hear clients saying to me, this is a stupid question, but, and I'm always like, no, it's not stupid. It's a good question. So if you have questions, get with your veterinarian and give your veterinarian time to call someone like me, right? To figure out the answer if they don't have the answer in their, you know, in their brain at that moment. So that's definitely something I want people to think about. But also, there are lots of different options for vacation. So like everybody else, I vacation during the summer with my family. Like that's what lots of us do if our kids are in school. And one of the things that I think I hear a lot is, you know, my cat only needs someone to check on them every other day. And I know you're probably crunching up your face like I am right now. Like, we don't want cats only checked on every other day.
Yes, totally. Yeah. I'm so glad that you brought that up. Yes.
Yeah. So even just scooping the litter box, like that has to happen a minimum of once a day. That's not ideal. That is less than ideal. So we want to kind of help people look at cats in this regard as little dogs. I usually don't advise that. But when we think of dogs, we think of, I need to have someone in the house with them. I need to have someone overnight. Now we want to think about our cats that way too, if we can. So there's number one, right? Cats are social. They need us. Number two, we want to think about what's best for our cat. You know, I have a friend who has a van, and I don't know, Dr. Prim, if you have like, you know, friends that do this, but my friend's going to travel all around in her van to all of the national parks all over North America for a year. Her cat's going with her. So if you have like a motorhome or a van that's built out to live in, you might think about taking your cat with you. And that is perfectly fine to do. You want to make sure that you head to your vet You make sure your cat can travel in the car without motion sickness. That's a big problem for cats, vomiting in the car, right? You want to make sure that your cat has a comfortable place to go in this van or motorhome, whether it is just a bed put in a corner or under a little table or whatever. And we want to make sure your cat can have a normal sized litter box if possible. You might want to also think about, if you're going to do that with your cat, training your cat to a harness, because some cats like to go outside. We want to be able to do that safely. However, if you're traveling to other states, you need to get with your vet, because the infectious diseases that I have here in Florida are not the same as my colleagues up in Maine. So you want to get with your veterinarian about what vaccinations your cat may need, traveling around the country, also what kind of preventative your cat may need traveling around. So I just want to stop and let Dr. Prim kind of voice in before I go farther.
You know, absolutely. And I went to a meeting recently about a new species of tick. Have you heard about that?
I have not.
Oh, there's a new species of tick. And I think it started up in the Northeast somewhere. And it is moving across the country. I mean, it was found on sheep. It's not really a cat issue, but it will be if it moves all over the country. So I would say if your friend is taking their cat to all of the national parks, which makes me very jealous, that they want to make sure that their cat is on flea and tick prevention, because you don't want to bring home an Asian longhorn tick, I think is what it's called, to your home state. So yes, I think that is excellent advice.
Yeah, Asian longhorn tick. That sounds angry. That sounds like a bad creature.
I might have messed it up because, like I said, it's a sheep thing, but I'm almost positive it's called the Asian longhorn. It's got really long legs on the front that make it look like it has horns. But, you know, and so far, I don't think it's carrying a whole lot of diseases, or maybe we just don't know yet. But you know what? Here's the cool thing. If you didn't know this, you can go back to your practice and tell people. It actually requires no male. It's parthenogenic. Only the females are required to generate offspring. So you can imagine that it's going to move all over soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me ask you now, you didn't mention heartworm disease, but down here in Florida, we worry about cats with heartworms. So I think if you're going to travel south, you should be thinking about that protection for your cat too, no?
Absolutely. We recommend the flea and tick preventions that actually cover feline heartworm disease as well. So I think that all of my listeners that are considering something like this need to talk with their veterinarian and maybe even have their veterinarian call their colleagues that are in the other parts of the country they're going to visit, because that might be a consideration you haven't thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So then the other options are going to be people more like me, right? I'm not going to take my cat with me because my cat doesn't want to go. My cat, I adopted as an adult. He was a relinquishment from a person who brought him in here to my practice, which is how a lot of veterinarians and veterinary technicians get pets. And so he was an adult. He already had his emotional baggage. He doesn't want to go anywhere at all, not even outside of my house. And so for those kitties, we have options. We have the option of boarding. Now, for my cat, it would be very stressful, but maybe you have a cat who likes going to the vet. Those cats exist or loves a certain vet tech. You could consider the veterinarian's office. Another thing about boarding your cat at the veterinarian's office, and there are cat boarding facilities, there's not as many as dog, but they do exist. And sometimes dog boarding facilities have cat boarding areas. So what you want to consider about boarding your cat at the vet is that your cat's safe. And to me, if you're going away, because I have clients that go away for a month, if you're going away for a month, you absolutely could have someone in your home. If you have someone you trust that can come in a minimum of once a day, that's fine. Maybe that person is not able to medicate your cat and your cat needs medicine. Then they're safer at the veterinarian's office. Will it be as much fun as your house? No. But having been a vet for 23 years, I'm at a specialty practice, but we have a beautiful boarding facility, like with an open cat area. Those cats are safe. Medicines get in cats. And that is something that gives you peace of mind for your kitty. If you decide to have a pet sitter, that's cool too, but you have to consider that medicine factor. I cannot tell you countless times a client has said to me, oh, no, Dr. Radasta, my cat did not get his Prozac because the pet sitter couldn't give it for the 3 weeks I was gone. I would have much rather that cat be at the veterinary hospital with the litter box scooped twice a day and getting his medicine than home and alone and not getting his emotional support. What do you think, Dr. Prim?
Absolutely. You know, and some people have great situations where they know pet sitters that can come and stay, and the cat knows the pet sitter, and it's, you know, maybe it's a vet tech that knows how to do medications. But if you don't have that extra special situation, you can board your cat. And there are ways to make that better. So I want to talk about that a little bit more, because as a fear-free certified professional, and I practice in a fear-free certified practice, we have lots of tricks up our sleeves for making that better. But I want to take a quick break and come back and delve into that a little bit more. So we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. So we're talking with Dr. Lisa Radasta about vacations and what to do to make sure your cat is happy, healthy, and safe while you're away. Whether they're with you or they are not with you, there are considerations. So Dr. Radasta, I think that I heard you say something that I think we really need to point out. It depends on the individual cat. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, so you really have to know your cat. And as I said, medications are a tipping point for me. If the cat's not going to get his medicine, I'm going to lean toward a veterinary hospital. It might be more stressful. It probably will, okay? More stressful. However, we have to make sure that if pets need medicines, they're getting their medicines. So let's just say it's a cat like mine, who all he gets is calming care. That is a supplement. And it's a probiotic that you put on the cat's canned food. So that's easy. Anybody can sprinkle that. So if you have a cat like mine, then you're going to look at, what is your cat like? Some cats walk right out of the carrier at the veterinarian's office. I have one patient. His name is Roscoe. He owns this place. And, you know, I wouldn't worry at all about him boarding. But for cats who are fearful, better to stay at home. Now you have to find a pet sitter. And I think it's common for us to just say, I have a friend who has a friend. And that's totally cool in a lot of instances. For me, I like to know that I either know the pet sitter really well personally. You're trusting them with a family member and you're trusting them in your home when you're not there. There's a big trust point. So I like to know someone personally, or I like a professional pet sitter that is licensed and insured. This is their business. And there's nothing wrong with asking a friend to take care of your cat, but there's something that comes with paying someone to do something. It's their job that kind of puts this responsibility on that person to follow directions. So for cats, minimum of once a day, we want someone in the home scooping the box and feeding. For my cat, it has to be twice a day. He gets two different types of foods. So he has to have that kind of companionship. You're also going to ask, will you play with my cat? Will you interact with my cat? How long are you going to stay? Is it in and out? Because my personal cat is very needy. I know he's needy. And if he doesn't get attention, he gets, let's just say, upset, which ends up with him biting. So if you know that about your cat, even if you think he's going to be afraid of your pet sitter, still, you're going to ask them to stay. Just having a human being in the house, having the TV on, having that kind of presence in the house will help to ease your cat's concern. What is shocking to me, and that is shocked me with my own cat, I just got a new pet sitter about 3 months ago, and I was sure he would never come out to see her. Sure enough, that first day, she started sending me pictures of my cat on her lap. And I was like, whose cat is this? But a lot of times when you think your cat will not bond with someone, if they're the only thing in the house, right, then that bonding can often occur. And one of the things related to that is, are you going to close the doors to the rooms in your house? This is kind of important. So Because what people do, my husband even mentioned this, you know, let's close all the doors to the house so that Chewy has to be in the main living area and his area where his food and litter box are. So I understand that because you're pushing the cat out to be with this person. But on the other hand, the cat can't get away. So I understand closing most of your doors. You have a stranger in your house, but I would say leave at least one door with a hiding space open so that your cat can get away from the stranger if they so choose. What do you tell people, Dr. Prim?
I do. And I also encourage people to have their video. Everybody has videos, ability to video their pets and just to kind of check in now and then and make sure the cat seems comfortable, that things are being done the way you had intended for them to be done. Do you recommend? I bet you recommend that too.
Absolutely. And I have cameras in my house. I think everybody pretty much does now because it's so cheap and easy. And I don't think it is an invasion of privacy. That is your home. And that is your furry child. And I certainly had cameras when my daughter was young and somebody would watch my daughter. And to me, this is no different. And make sure if you would, you know, write out what you want to have happen. A meeting with someone is great. You should meet with people. But having it written down just ensures what you intend to be done, you know, will actually be done.
Okay, so what if your cat does need medication, for example? I certainly have diabetic cats and cats. Is there anything that you can do? And I kind of know the answer, but there are things that you can do to make it better for your cat to be away from home and go to a boarding facility. And I've even experienced this with my own cat. But let's talk about like pre-visit pharmaceuticals and anxiety medications.
Yeah, I mean, so definitely medications. Also, we'll talk about it in a second, but also bringing things that smell like home. And a lot of times, you know, as an employee of a veterinary hospital for all these years, I'll tell you many times we have said, this is a policy, leave your stuff at home. And the reason that we tell you that, right, or you might have heard that, is because we don't want to lose your stuff. And stuff gets sent home with other people. So what I would do is I would not bring, you know, my $500 cat bed. I don't have one of those, but I recently had occasion to go on the internet and see they exist amazingly. But bring your cat's favorite bed and just let, if the technician says, hey, we can't do this, say, you know what? If you lose it, I'm not going to be angry with you. My cat has to have this. So be politely insistent. Let's go with that so that your cat has things that, you know, smell like home. Also, I want you to bring your own food and bring extra and also bring extra medicine. Stuff gets spilled. It just does. And I don't want for your pet to go without medicine. And this has happened with my patients at veterinary hospitals where the medicine is spilled and for whatever reason, the doctor on staff is not told and the pet goes without medicine. So you're always going to bring extra medicine. It's a vet hospital. Don't send one of those pill organizers, please. Just send your bottles that have the exact instructions on the bottle and also write it down. So as far as like the stress of being at the vet hospital, if you think your cat will be stressed, I would encourage you to medicate for the first couple of days. So what we tend to do is test the waters. And I feel like this is like asking a kindergartner to take a calculus test to see if they will fail. Let me just help you. They're going to fail. So if your cat is stressed, let's not test the waters. Let's say I'm betting that my kitty's going to be stressed. So let's use gabapentin or pregabalin. Those are our top two choices for cats. Let's do that right off the bat, twice a day, for the first 3 to 5 days my cat is boarding. There's a veterinarian on staff. God forbid if your cat's a little sleepy or anything like that, the pet care attendant should alert the veterinarian, right? So then after 3 to 5 days, we might go to once a day. And then we might go to, you know, discontinuing the medicine altogether, depending on how long your cat is there. But those first 3 to 5 days are the most stressful. So we want to be thinking about medicating upfront for those. What you also could do, I mentioned earlier, my cat's on calming care. I love calming care, not just for my cat, but also for my patients. And again, probiotic, you put it on your cat's food. You could start that about a month in advance if you know you're going to leave for an extended period of time and continue it through the whole boarding cycle. So again, you are protecting your cat well in advance for any kind of stressful event.
So what about things that are not medications? And like, what about like pheromones and some of the things that are kind of in the headlines about treating anxiety for pets? Can you weigh in on some of those things?
Well, so as far as cats are concerned, there are supplements you can use, Anxetane, Soliquin, Zeolkine. Most of those, so those are the only three, by the way, that I'm going to recommend because they have research behind them, either the active ingredient or the product itself. Angstetane has a lot of research, so does Zilkeen and the actual like product. And Soliquin has two studies of the active ingredients in animal, not in humans. I'm not extrapolating from rodents, but actually the animals that I treat. And also there are, for all three of those products, a technical service veterinarian who collects adverse events. No, these aren't FDA drugs, but I like the idea of quality control because my patients are really important to me. So I don't recommend anything over the counter, period, end of story. It is the only three supplements I recommend. Please don't give cats CBD. We don't have enough research on cats at all. And the little bit of research we have shows that at least some forms of CBD or some brands, let me put it that way, can affect the liver enzymes in cats. You know, cats have special little livers. This is where they're not little dogs. Their livers sort differently than dog livers, and they can't break things down in exactly the same way. They're not good at what's called glucuronidation. And when medicines or supplements or natural products need that, we can damage cat livers. So I would not give CBD to my pet, and I don't recommend any over-the-counter supplements besides the ones I've just mentioned. I love pheromones, and there is no other product as researched in probably at all of veterinary medicine as pheromones. I mean, the amount of published research is extraordinary. And the challenge, of course, is that it comes in a spray and it comes in a plug-in. So I'm hoping that your veterinarian has the plug-in. If they do, you don't have to do anything. If they don't, you can bring the spray. And I just say that's a challenge because it's one more thing that the pet care attendant has to do. And we don't want to do that while you're, we don't want to spray it while your cat is in the area. So we need to put your cat in another boarding cage or triple deck or like condo, and then spray a blanket or something and then stick that blanket in there once the vehicle dissipated. But absolutely, we know that a lot of cats can be helped with feel away specifically, whether it be classic or multi-cat or advantage. Yeah, absolutely.
So I love those things that you mentioned. So that's good. We're again on the same page. So I think that really, though, if I had to pick one point out of all the things that you discussed today, the one that I would highlight is preparation. Preparing. If you think you're going on vacation, you can't say, okay, we're leaving tomorrow. Let's take care of the cat, right?
Right. And we're not so good at preparation sometimes. It just seems like we're busier than ever. And so yes, preparation, because also you're going to be interviewing pet sitters potentially. And we want to make sure you're really comfortable with someone. I think the other thing that we haven't talked about is, should you bring your cat with you if you go to, you know, a Vrbo or Airbnb or a friend's house or a hotel? And that's really, again, this is going to depend on your cat. So my cat has a pretty profound noise fear. It's not a phobia yet. It probably will never develop into a phobia because we're taking action, but he has a profound noise fear. And for him, a hotel would be really, really frightening. He would be hiding all the time. But an Airbnb, if I was going to be there, you know, renting a home or something, I would be there for a month, I would consider taking him with me because I could make it seem a lot like home. I have to also think about people in and out. So if I'm in a hotel room and there will be people in and out, then my cat might have a chance of escaping and I might never find him. So that would be also something I want to consider. Is my cat a cat who dashes out the door? If he's a door dasher, probably don't want to bring him with me. And then what I also have a lot of clients do is bring their cat to a family member's house. So we have a lot of people here in Southeast Florida who are retired. So they will go up north, northeast or wherever to stay with their kids for a month or 2 months. So they'll all go to the beach together or whatever. The thing with that is we want to consider how stressful that visit will be. I understand not wanting to pay for boarding or a pet sitter for a month. That would be a significant expense. On the other hand, if your daughter or son or whomever you're going to stay with has three cats of their own, the likelihood of integrating your cat with those three cats is pretty low. It could happen. Maybe they grew up together or whatever, or it could turn into a holy nightmare with cats peeing everywhere and biting each other. So you want to just consider, can your cat be secluded in a room or a part of the house? Are you going to be staying in a guest house? Are you staying in the main living area before you bring your cat with you?
So I think, again, preparation, just thinking about who your cat is, thinking about where you're going and how long you're going to be gone. And I don't know about you, but here in our area, pet sitters are kind of hard to come by. I would certainly have to plan pretty far in advance to find someone that I trusted.
Yeah, I would too. And we had the same pet sitter for over a decade. And then we just got a new one and We know her very well. She lives two doors down. She's a friend. Plus, she has a pet sitting business. So it wasn't enough for me that she was just a friend. I also wanted someone with a business. I just feel like when you take money for a job, there is just a different level. And I've been really pleased. She leaves us with a report card where each day, this is what Chewy did. That's my cat, Chewy. He's named after Chewbacca, but he's much more like Kylo Ren. He's not at all like Chewbacca, unfortunately for us. But anyway, the point is, I've been very pleased with that. But you're right. It takes time. It does.
So also, I would say from my clients interviewing me and my pet caregivers and seeing the area where we do keep cats, because we have a cat-specific boarding area, of course. But you need to see that. You need to see where your heart leads you if you think your cat would be comfortable, I think. And I have a lot of clients that do want to tour it. And so I'd have to plan ahead. I can't just call, I'm leaving at 2 today. Can I come and look at your facility? You know, I'd have to plan ahead if I were not a veterinarian and just a pet owner.
Absolutely. But this is, this is the message for everything, right? This is the message for 4th of July planning because of the fireworks and New Year's Eve planning and moving house planning and having a baby planning. All of those things. As veterinarians, we want to see you months before any of those events, not a day or weeks before, or God forbid, after the baby's born or 4th of July, where you're reporting all the negative things happening to your cat. Because what we cannot ever forget is that learning occurs, even learning how to write cursive or do math, right, for humans. Any type of learning occurs on a neurochemical level, okay? So in other words, if we don't plan and we end up in a situation where your cat is traumatized or fearful, that has happened on a neurochemical level in the brain, and the body really keeps the score. It really does. And your cat will not forget those things. So if you can plan in advance and set your cat up as best you can for, a less traumatic event, whatever that event is, you will keep that negative learning from occurring.
So plan ahead. Maybe consider getting a harness for your cat if you're going on a van or camper vacation. Look at your camper through the eyes of your cat, or tour your veterinary hospital, meet with your pet sitters, and do this weeks in advance and talk with your veterinarian. That is my soapbox again. Talk with your veterinarian about the preventive care your cat might need. Flea and tick protection, vaccinations, all of those things should include your veterinarian, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I want to say, you're listening to Dr. Prem, you're listening to me, and I can tell you, we love talking to people and we love helping pets. So maybe you would, talk to your vet, and maybe your vet doesn't have the answers. Or maybe, look, we happen to be human beings, by the way. Maybe your vet gets a little anxious when you start asking about behavioral stuff because they don't know anything about it. So if you ask your vet and your vet's like, I don't know, or whatever you think, then you know what? I would ask that you say, it's totally okay. Can you direct me to some resources? Like, I get that you don't know and it's not a big deal, but can you direct me to where I can get that information? Vets are human beings, and some vets might be offended by that approach, but I think most are going to be relieved. Like, oh my God, thank you for letting me off the hook for not knowing 100% of everything about 100% of all the things that could ever happen to 100% of all the animals. Like, just help them out. And if they say, you know what, give me a couple days, say no problem. And then follow up in a couple days with a phone call and say, hey, do you have any resources for me? You can also find tons of information by following Dr. Prem or following me on Instagram, just reaching out yourself and gathering information. Then you can bring that to your vet and say, hey, I found this vet behaviorist online. What do you think of her? Should I do what she's saying? And then your vet's in a position that is totally different and I think easier in a lot of ways to say, oh yeah, I know her. I went to two of her lectures. She's cool. Do what she says. Like, finding things on your own and bringing those to your vet is also something you can do to be proactive.
Oh, I totally agree. I write blogs, I write articles, you do videos, I do this podcast. I mean, there is really good information out there if you just look, but you can take it to your veterinarian and ask them instead of, making it an adversarial situation. So yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you for coming and talking with us about this today.
Thank you for having me. The more I can talk about behavior, I feel like the happier our pets will be.
Absolutely. So your expertise is very valuable to us, and I hope that you continue to be available to us to discuss these things. To my listeners, remember, preparation for vacation is key to ensuring a smooth experience for you and your cat. Don't forget acclimating to your cat carrier. We talk about that a lot on this show, and that's really important. But I just want to thank my amazing producer, Mark Winter. Thank my listeners. And I hope that until next time, you have happy travels and you have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.